Thank you, Mr. Pryke. Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. Certainly is a beautiful day out there today. Temperature slightly cooler, feel a little better. Starts feeling like feast weather. So with the holy days just around the corner, I'm sure many of us have probably recently been scheduling time off work. And one thing good about scheduling time off this time of year, you don't really have a lot of competition with your coworkers for getting time off. It's not like over summertime or Thanksgiving, other holidays when everybody else is clamoring for extra time off. No, there's just not a lot of people in this world who are going to be celebrating these holy days. These days of observance seem strange to most people. So let's turn to 1 Peter. We will read in chapter 2, verse 11. In the Bible, we're told as God's people, we are strangers in this world. I'll be reading mostly from the NIV today, but I'm going to read this verse out of the Old King James Version, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Peter's reminding us that we're strangers and pilgrims to the world. One definition of pilgrim is a person who journeys, especially a long distance, to some sacred place as an act of religious devotion. Another one is a traveler or wanderer, especially in a foreign place. Or you could say stranger as well. The Mayflower pilgrims left their homeland for the New World to escape a land that had grown foreign and perverted to them. They were strangers in their homeland, and they wanted to escape to preserve their religious customs for their children. As Christians from all nations, we have a fascinating linkage to these early Americans, leaving old worlds behind and stepping onto new shores. So we see the connection with Peter's analogy in 1 Peter 2. So what makes us a stranger in this world? So while we're in 1 Peter, let's go back a couple of verses to verse 9. Tells us why we are strangers. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Called out of the darkness of this world." Psalm 119 and verse 19, it says, "I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me." Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and we will begin in verse 13. "The faithful people of God have never placed their roots in this world alone. They've always recognized that the kingdoms of this age are but pale in comparison to the fullness of the ageless kingdom to come." Hebrews 11, verse 13. Here speaking about the faithful Abraham, Noah, Enoch. Hebrews 11, verse 13. "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So, brethren, for this message today, we're going to look a little deeper at being a stranger in this world. Why we want to be strangers. We'll also look at how this ties in with our relationship with God. So the title of this message will be, A Friend to God is a Stranger to the World. Let's turn to John 15. So as a Christian, do we see this world as our home? Or do we see ourselves as a stranger in a foreign land? John 15, we'll read verses 18 and 19. Jesus speaking, says, If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Christ was a stranger in this world. As Christians, we want to follow that example. Every command in the Bible is for our benefit and originates from God's love for us. We are blessed if we see ourselves as strangers in this world. Philippians 3 and verse 20 says, But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing life is temporary and this world is not our home, we should be eternally minded in our earthly life. Colossians 3 and verse 2 tells us to set our minds on the things above, not on earthly things. When our mind is set on the things above, it means we see our lives and the events in our lives from a spiritual view, and we can handle them with a spiritual wisdom. So how is life for us when we live for God's kingdom and see ourselves as strangers in the world? John 10 and verse 10, Jesus tells us, that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Things of this world should no longer weigh us down. They are just things God walks us through and uses to mold us to be more Christ-like. Romans 8:28 tells us, All things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This doesn't mean everything is going to be peachy, but it means that God will work things out for our good. Being kingdom of God-minded in a temporary world enables us to overcome fears that others may have and live with, that we may have the peace and joy that God has for us. Let's turn to James chapter 4. But today we see ourselves as strangers in this world because we seek to walk in the ways of God, not in the ways of the world. James 4, verse 4, James speaking about quarrelsome, covetous people. James 4, verse 4, he says, You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. We definitely don't want to be a friend to this world. We want to be a stranger. But we want to be a friend to God. While we're in James, let's flip back to James 2. Read verses 21 through 23. James 2, verse 21. It says, "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and that faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Abraham revered God. He had faith in God, and he followed God's commands. So what is a friend? A couple of definitions for friend. The person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. A person who gives assistance. A member of the same nation. The Bible shows us what a friend is. Let's turn to 1 Samuel verse 18. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 tells us, "A friend loves at all times." 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1 says, "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself." They were friends. Jonathan recognized in David the qualities he most admired. He was as courageous as David was. As we read in the scripture reading of 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan and David were kindred spirits. They made a covenant pledge to always be loyal to one another. And friendship, being a special thing, has certain identifying marks. For example, companionship. It's nice to have companions, friends that you can share life with, talk with, enjoy the things that God has so graciously given us all. And what do you do when you get together with a friend? Well, you communicate, talk about this and that. You know, even with all the technologies today, you know, staying connected and social media. But today it's actually more difficult for genuine communication if we rely on these messages, these ways of communicating, like reading LOL or seeing a laughing emoji. This doesn't have the same effect as actually being with a person and talking and laughing, or even on the phone. Kind of lose the humanity. You're just a friend on social media. But God wants a genuine friendship with each and every one of us. And he talks to us through his holy word. He wants us to know what his word is all about. So if we don't know his word, how are we going to be able to sort right from wrong? And who's telling the truth or not? We want to be able to see what Scripture says and let God reveal his word to us through his Spirit. So he communicates to us through the Bible. He communicates to us through answered prayers and blessings we receive. He communicates to us through trials and correction. We don't always recognize what God's doing in our lives. I'm sure everyone here has had things happen. You just realize and you just know that God had a part in it. And when we are following his commands, we're communicating to him that we want to be his friend. We communicate to him through prayer. We don't want to be like ancient Israel, where in Jeremiah 18 and verse 15, God said, My people have forgotten me. In other words, they don't talk to me. They don't communicate with me. They just go about their business. We definitely don't want to forget God. We want him to be first and foremost in our minds. Now, this was something Jesus constantly emphasized, that we are to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and our mind. In other words, he has to be priority one. Anything else becomes a false god. And this is fundamental because the world is flooded with false gods. Many are being misled into idolatry, and they don't even realize it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, we're commanded to flee idolatry. How do we flee idolatry when the world is filled with it? Well, that goes back being a stranger to this world. We're a stranger in the world. We have a close friendship with our Creator in Jesus Christ. And because God is dependable and honest and truthful, it's a friendship we can count on. So while friendship with human beings is desirable, we all need it. It's not good to be isolated. As crazy as it is out there, there's still decent people looking for the truth that just haven't found it yet. So we find that while friendship is important and desirable, friendship with God is essential. We don't know who God is. You feel like he was distant from you and he doesn't care. But the reality is, he knows everything about us. We sometimes forget that. He sees the good and the not so good things that we do. But what causes us to be friends of God? We want to understand what it means and make sure we're doing what it means so that we can conscience-wise go to God and know that he's not only our friend, but that we are his friends. Because we know he's our friend, but are we his? I'd like to go over 3 points or aspects of being a friend to God. First point, we are friends of God when we reverence him. It's important because we live in a world of irreverence. People mock and make fun of God. They take his name in vain. People who reverence God don't do that. People who reverence God love God and give him glory and honor. Let's turn to Psalm 25. We'll read verse 14. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." So fear here is translated as revere. So it says the Lord confides in those who fear or revere him. And who does someone confide in? Well, they confide in a friend, right? You and I have been blessed to see the covenant that God has made with us. He made a covenant with ancient Israel, the old covenant. He made a covenant with us in the church of God, the new covenant, made through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So when we understand this attitude of reverence, we realize that we're developing an intimacy with God. He wants to be intimate. We're to have a wonderful relationship with God. We're to stand in awe of him. It's easy to be in awe of him when we see and appreciate the beauty of the creation. Beautiful sunset, the sun rising over the ocean. When we see these things and understand God created this beauty. And when we come to understand his great plan for mankind, we will be in awe of him. We should be in awe of him when we recognize him working in our lives. It's like when David in Psalm 8 and verse 3 through 4, where he was looking up in the heavens at night, he said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." David was in awe of God and his creation. The Bible and the Bible were instructed to revere God. Psalm 22 verse 23 tells us, "As you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel." So to be a friend to God, we need to have reverence for him. Second point, we need to understand to become a friend of God that we have to have faith in him. Faith is required necessity in our relationship with God. Faith can be translated a different way. It can be translated if you've got to trust God. People don't trust God because they don't know God. You know, if you don't understand something, you tend to fear it. People have the fear of the unknown. They don't have faith in God. And God tells us very plainly that we're required to have faith in him, to trust him, and to believe in him. And why should we believe? Well, Titus verses 1 through 2 tells us, "The Lord eternal cannot lie." But we don't want to find ourselves thinking, "Well, I don't know if I believe that," or "I'm not sure about that." But when we feel like that, we just need to acknowledge there's things that we don't understand. There's things God hasn't revealed yet. So sometime you may be talking to somebody about God's truths, and they say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, that's their choice. They have a right to disbelieve it. But if we have unbelief in our heart, we will not have a relationship or a friendship with God. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. This is serious for God. He wants us to take it seriously in our relationship with him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So in other words, if you remove this article of faith, a trust, belief in God, it's impossible. It means it's just not going to happen. It's impossible to please him. It means that we know we have to believe in him and believe that he wants the very best for us. You know, when bad things happen, sometimes you just can't figure it out and kind of draw blank, you know, "Why, God? Why this or why that?" You know, the important thing is how we react and handle it. Are we going to react in disbelief just because we don't understand? Or are we going to have confidence in God and believe that he's working with us? It doesn't really matter if I don't understand or not. Psalm 46, verse 10, God tells us to be still and know that I am God. If we don't know that, we're in trouble. That's why the world is in such trouble, because it does not know God. So we have to know and have faith in God. Abraham's example was an element of friendship with God. God asked him to do something, and he believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Every time we believe God and act accordingly, it's accounted to us for righteousness. We're accounted for something today. God said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We're here coming to worship God on the Sabbath day. It's accounted to us because we are exercising faith by observing this day, being here or online to hear the word of God. We're all together here to hear his word, to learn more of his ways, to learn to be a friend to God. Like Abraham, we have friendship with God because we believe and obey him. That's why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, all the holy days. We believe in that. It matters that God says we should believe, not what others say. The choices are whether we want to obey or not. Let's turn to First John chapter 3. Our faith enables us to have a fruitful relationship with God. And that's why it's so important. 1 John 3, we'll read verses 23 and 24. 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. This is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This leads us to a third point to help us to be a friend to God. Third area of what it will require is that we have to live to the best of our ability in righteousness. In other words, keeping God's commands. By walking in those commands, as we just read, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him. Because again, the new covenant is writing the laws of God in our hearts and our minds. And once they're in our hearts and minds, they become a way of life. We live accordingly. In the Ten Commandments, we follow the first four that tell us how to love God. And the last six tell us how to love our fellow human beings. And the Bible tells us what defines love. 1 John 5 and verse 13 says, this is the love of God, to obey his commands, and they are not burdensome. So once we're all in on the first two points, reverence for God and faith in him, the third one, obeying his commands, logically follows. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read verse 32. Proverbs 3 and verse 32. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. In other words, those that keep his commands, he takes into his confidence. And who does someone take into their confidence, share secrets with? A friend. In other words, God continues to develop our friendship our relationship and strengthen us because he's our friend. He wants us to fulfill our destiny. Every one of us has a unique destiny in God's plan. That's why Jesus said in the book of John that I go to prepare a place for you. There's a place ordained by God for us, for all who love God and want to walk in his ways. So we want to live as best we can, and that means living by God's truth. Ephesians 6, verse 14, talks about the armor of God is given to us to protect us from sin that is in the world. And boy, do we really need it in this day and age. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Be our final scripture. So we strive to live as righteously as we can. We obviously can't do it perfectly. And when we stumble and falter, God commands us to go to him and ask for forgiveness. And he will, because he wants to bury all sin. Philippians 4, read verses 8 through 9. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, brethren, we've been called out of the darkness of this world, called out as strangers, longing for a better country. And today we've seen the connection of being a friend to God and a stranger to the world. We have to be a stranger to the world to be a friend to God. Being a friend to God should be our first priority. We want to have a reverence and faith in our God and follow his commandments. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, friend loves at all times. So God is a friend to us. Let's be that friend to him that he wants us to be.